I desire very sincerely that the Lord may direct me in what I have to say today. I presume that in this matter of leadership, which is connected with this week, and the building of the family, which is also given special attention, that we have two very important things. And I'm sure you're getting a lot of help as you're attending to these exercises in this great university. Now, we brethren who come down from general authorities are not told what to say or what to speak about specifically, but I rather assume that it would be proper for me to try and endeavor, at least to endeavor, to establish the spiritual values of both leadership and the family as much as I can. And while we may all have that idea who come to here, come to you, I presume we have a different approach. I have thought of, as I have been giving thought to this attention, of the admonition of the Lord on learning. And while it's so familiar to us, I think it's always stimulating and should give us an increased sense of our possibilities when the Lord tells us how we should seek knowledge. And I give unto you a commandment that you shall teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. That's the basis for it. As I think of knowledge, I think of the knowledge that the world has gained through its experience and its research. And I think of the knowledge that comes through the revelations of God, which are pure, true, unlimited, reaching into the eternities, giving us knowledge about all things, even things that we cannot follow by research or by experimentation or by human experience. So I think unless we accept the revealed Word of God, we narrow our lives very seriously indeed. So much so that we destroy our lives if we do not accept the revelations of God. For there is no life that's whole and complete and full and that continues on through the eternities except that life is governed not only by all the things that men may tell us, but it's governed by the revealed truths of God. That's our safest foundation, and it must be our constant foundation. And so the Lord tells us that we should teach one another the doctrines of the kingdom, and then goes on to say that how we shall learn of the things of the heaven and the earth, under the earth, things that have been, things that are shortly to come to pass, things at home and abroad, and the wars and the perplexities of nations and the judgments which are to come, and a knowledge of all countries and of all kingdoms. What a wonderful admonition that is. Well, now I think all of that has a bearing upon our individual lives. As we are ignorant of these things, we do not have a proper conception of our lives and our opportunities and our obligations. So I'm not trying to go into all this field, but I'd like to deal with what we are and who we are. They say that we're all interested most in ourselves. If there's a picture in the paper, the only picture we rush to see is our picture. If there's a list of names, we look for our name, and all the rest is quite secondary. So if we are interested in ourselves, which we must be because we're responsible for ourselves, then I think we should know who we are and what we are. And so the Lord has said, seek ye out of the best book words of wisdom, seek learning even by study and also by faith. And that's what I should like to stress here, that we cannot always come to Leadership Week. We may be past the time when we can come to university. But we always have the power to learn through faith. The most precious and wonderful things that the human family may know, we may know by faith. And they may be in the world, they may be printed in books, they may be taught from the pulpit, yet if we have not faith, we haven't the capacity to receive them. And that's why it is there's so many ideas in the world prevalent and generally accepted that are not true. They're contrary to the scriptures that we have had all along. They're contrary to the revelations of God. But people through lack of faith have not the capacity to receive them. So I want to emphasize that we learn by faith some of the most important things in the world, and the most important things. Now, as to man, he's always been a problem in more ways than one. And he's always been trying to find out about himself. Pope says the proper study of mankind is man, as you remember. Shakespeare, what a piece of work is man. How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable. In action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god. And Byron, in rather a negative view, calls man half dust, half deity, alike unfit to sink or soar. Now, these are the expressions about man that are typical. Let me give you the expression of Jesus Christ, who is the key to the whole situation, as I see it and understand it, and so simple and so wonderful that I am astonished that people pass it over. So-called Christian people who know their scriptures and who are learned in all things, do not accept it and pass it over. So in about 15 words, I think the Savior tells us what men fail to tell us in volumes and volumes of their writings. I recall a volume of 500 pages I read through that was supposed to tell us about this. I didn't read it to find out what we are, but I read it to find out what men think we are. I have in mind a book of 250 pages, again, where a man wrote on this subject, and it began with speculation and it ended with speculation. He got nowhere. Now, we can't do that with the revelations of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember the incident after his resurrection, when he was confronted by Mary in the garden, he said to her, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, I think that gives the key to the whole truth as to who we are and what we are. And you can't know man without knowing God. You can't know God without knowing man. If you know God, you know man. And here is the plain statement of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God sent forth to teach the world the truth and to redeem the world. And he says he was sending to our God and to his God, our Father and his Father. That's the simple truth in those few words. Anything that disputes that, anything that contradicts that, must be rejected by a lover of truth. That must be the foundation upon which we stand. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was a man, lived upon the earth a man's life, died and was resurrected, as all men will be resurrected, and ascended again to his Father in heaven, perfected, and he himself is God, the Son of God, it is true, but the God, one true God, is defined of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, one in unity, and the true and living God. We should remember that there's no other God except those made by the hands or the minds of men. Those who have conceptions of God different from this are worshiping gods of their own creations. Now we speak of the Savior as calling himself the Son of Man, and that's sometimes questioned, why did he use that term so much? Well, you find an explanation of it in the book of Moses. The Lord speaking says, in the language of Adam, referring to the Father, man of holiness is his name, and the name of his only begotten Son is Son of Man, even Jesus Christ the Lord. That's why he called himself the Son of Man, because he was the Son of Man. A man of holiness, a man of perfection. And the Lord himself, in explaining to Adam this truth, explained himself as being a man of holiness, a perfected man, God, our Father. If we are the Son of God, we are of his nature and of his kind. And we belong to his family. And the offspring becomes like the parent as they grow true to their purpose and their destiny. And that's our destiny. This great revelation from the prophet Joseph Smith. God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man, and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. This is the great secret. It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God, to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another, and that he was once a man like us, yea, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on an earth the same as Jesus Christ himself did. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said that in different words. He said that he was his Father. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said of himself after his resurrection, when they thought he was a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So in his perfected condition, after living as a man for 33 years, he ascended unto his Father, resurrected as his Father had been resurrected, perfected as his Father had been perfected before him. So the scriptures are clear on that, and that is the great truth that remains a secret to the hearts and minds of many people. Now we call ourselves men, We were men before we ever came to this world. We were the son of man. Not the son of man, but we were a son of man, a perfected and glorified man. That truth is so fundamental that it should be a guiding principle in our lives. Now, what has the Lord in store for us because of that fact? You refer to the 76th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. What the Lord has in mind to reveal to us, to explain to us as children, so that we might have knowledge. For thus saith the Lord, I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious unto those who fear me, and delight to honor those who serve me in righteousness and in truth to the end. Note that. He can honor those who serve him in righteousness, keeping his commandments. Great shall be their reward, and eternal shall be their glory. And to them will I reveal all mysteries, yea, and all the hidden mysteries of my kingdom, from days of old and for ages to come. And I will make known unto them the good pleasure of my will concerning all things pertaining to my kingdom. Yea, even the wonders of eternity shall they know. And things to come will I show them, even the things of many generations. And their wisdom shall be great, and their understanding reach to heaven. And before them the wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall come to naught. For by my Spirit will I enlighten them, and by my power will I make known unto them the secrets of my will, yea, even those things which eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor yet entered into the heart of man. Now that's a natural promise for a parent to make to a child, isn't it? Precisely the same attitude that we would all have towards our children. Our Father in heaven wishes us to know all things. And if we are righteous and true, the time will come that he will reveal all things to us, when we have the capacity to receive them. And he tells us when he comes in his glory, he'll tell us all things that we haven't learned. He'll tell us about the earth and how it was created and why it was created. And all these things that seem to trouble men so much will be explained in fullness. These things will be done by his power and by his revelation. Now, I don't think that we're going to study books all the time in the eternities. I think there's a better way of getting knowledge than that. I think that's a very slow and human process. Note what has been done in great revelations, great visions. Here's a vision that the Lord gave to Moses. He showed him this whole world by a power that we even can't comprehend, because he saw that he saw every man in the world, every person in the world, and saw everything in the world, a penetrating power that we just can't conceive of. And then the Lord said to him, he would show him then other things, and he showed him his creations. And he beheld many lands, and each land was called earth, and there were many inhabitants on the face thereof. So that Moses upon this earth looked out into the expanse of the eternities and saw numberless earths inhabited by people. And worlds without number have I created, and I also created them for mine own purpose. And by the Son I created them, which is mine only begotten. But only in account of this world was he then revealed to Moses. and the inhabitants thereof. For behold, there are many worlds that have passed away by the word of my power, and there are many that now stand, and innumerable are they unto man, but all things are known unto me, for they are mine, and I know them. And as one earth shall pass away, and the heavens thereof, even so shall another come. And there is no end to my world, to my works, neither to my words. What a wonderful conception, and what a broad view for us as humans to be able to see through the eyes of God His numberless creations, all peopled with the children of men. Humanity extending through the eternities. For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and the eternal life of man. That's what he was showing to Moses. His wonderful and glorious work beyond all our powers to comprehend, of numberless worlds that were coming and going, and all inhabited by men who were there through the mercy and blessing of God to attain immortality and eternal life. And the Lord says, I am God, I made the world, and men before they were in the flesh. That's in accordance with the statement of the Scriptures. So that men didn't begin on this world of ours. That's an utterly erroneous conception. Men have been in existence through the eternities, in worlds that have come and gone. And they were the sons of an exalted man, man of holiness. That's the conception we must have of men. The intelligence of man was co-eternal with God. And when God was God, he was God because he had sons and daughters in his image and partaking of his character and his nature. That's what makes him God. Have noticed this beautiful expression in the 38th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the prophet. And thus saith the Lord your God, even Jesus Christ, the great I Am, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the same which looked upon the wide expanse of eternity and all the seraphic hosts of heaven. Can you see the Lord standing there? He was sent by his Father to create the world and then to come to it and introduce truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you see him before the foundation of the world, looking over the wide expanse of eternity and all the seraphic hosts of heaven out into the void before the world was created? He was the same which knoweth all things, for all things are present before mine eyes. I am the same which spake, and the world was made, and all things came by me. What a glorious conception that is, and what a glorious passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, who created this world, tells it to the prophet Joseph Smith. Before the world was ever made, I looked over the expanse of the eternities, and I spake, and the world was made. Now, we make things in molds. If it's something plastic, we can make a mold and pour it into the mold, and we made it. Or we can get some boards together, or some wood, or some steel, or something else, and we make a house, or we make something else by building it up. Well, this world wasn't made that way. You can't make a mold for this world and for the mighty bodies of the heavens. How are they made? Brigham Young said that all matter is filling the universe in its elemental form. And God speaks, and it takes form. That's precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ said here. I want you to note also this statement. He says, I am the same which knoweth all things, for all things are present before mine eyes. Now, there are some of us so anxious to speak of the idea of progression that we say that God himself is progressing all the time. Well, the Lord says here that he knoweth all things, and all things are present before his eyes. He doesn't say he's going to learn some more things. He knows all things. If he doesn't know all things, then he's just like an advanced scientific man. He's experimenting. He's proposing theories. He's trying to find out something. That isn't the kind of a being that creates universes and sets them in order, and from whose presence the power goes out to fill the immensity of space and becomes the law of nature that keeps all the bodies of the heavens in order, preserves all the seasons so that we may live upon the earth. That isn't from a man who's experimenting. That's from a man who knows the truth. If he's experimenting, then he'll get in trouble. If he's experimenting, there's some things he doesn't know. There's some laws he doesn't know. There's some power greater than he. Unless he knows every law, he lacks power. He lacks knowledge. He's experimenting. God doesn't do that. Scientists have to do it. And when they discover a new law, they announce it. Such and such a law, we have learned, must be followed, or we must take the place of it something else we've discovered. Otherwise, the Lord would have to sometime refer perhaps to Section 88 in Doctrine and Covenants, which I gave to Prophet Joseph Smith ages ago, or in another world, as the case might be. I've discovered something, so take that out of the Doctrine and Covenants. No, the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord knows all things. That's why he has all power. That's why all things are under his control. And the only way they can be under his control. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. From his presence goes forth the power that does all things, and his word and command controls all things. And yet, he is our Father, and we are his children. What self-respect that should give us. What self-control that should give us. What inspiration that is for us to learn and to be what the sons and daughters of God ought to be. And his power and glory increases by the increase of his dominions and his offspring and his bringing them into eternal life and exaltation. So, my brethren and sisters, in all that we do, in our homes, in all our affairs, let these glorious revealed truths be the foundation upon which we build. Let them be the basis upon which we instruct our children. Let them be the basis of our conversation around the table and in our homes. Let them be the foundation for our thoughts and our conclusions. Let us base our logical thinking on these glorious truths. And as sure as we do that, we'll always be right. And if we will persist in keeping the commandments of God, as he has promised, the day will come that we'll be like him, and we'll know all things. And we will be exalted and glorified with the blessings of eternal lives. Thank God for His revelations. I bear my humble witness to you that these revelations are true, that God, the Creator of the world, is our Father, that Jesus Christ, who created the worlds for our Father, under His direction, is the Redeemer of the world, that Joseph Smith is a prophet of the living God, and that this church that we belong to is the church of Jesus Christ, and He is directing it through His prophet, David O. McKay. I bear this humble witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.